Cozy TV.
You liked it. You liked it. Thank you for telling me how much you liked the comments. And I have really enjoyed reading them to you. Isn't it great to know that we have this fellowship and that we're all of a like mind? I mean, we don't all believe everything perfectly the same, but you're never going to get that. But we have the basics down, and it's the basics that count. And we fine-tune things, and we help fine-tune each other. But this is really a community channel, and I love all of you. I just love you. I love spending this time with you. And from what I understand, you love me too, so I love that. I love that you love me, really. It's just a love fest here. I definitely feel that when I go to conferences. The way I describe it, I do a stage dive into the love. It's just, it's the love of God in Christ, and it's unconditional. How many times in your life do you find that unconditional love? I mean, I still love Johnny and Caitlin. I love these people because it's the love of God. And, wow, what if someday I get Johnny and Caitlin back here and interview them again? Maybe Johnny will watch some of these videos. Who knows? But God is in charge of all of it. Now, so what I'm going to do is just read a few of your comments from yesterday. Your comments on the show where I read the comments. And then I'm going to go back and read the rest of the comments from show 1513. And again, this is edifying to you. You've told me that, so I'm really thankful. I quoted Average Dude Man on yesterday's show, and then he wrote this afterwards. So this is really intense. Martin, I'm humbled. Now, I don't know who this is. I must apologize for deleting my comment, and I didn't realize he did that. He made a great comment yesterday that I read. It's not that I'm uncertain of the thoughts contained in them, but on my delivery. Too many ghosts in my head blaring old warped records titled Pretentious and Know-It-All and Worthless. These are terrible things people have said about Average Dude Man in the past. Sung by Dear Old Mum. That's rough. And a chorus of others. Yet, here you are saying my words are like poetry. I'm in tears, said Average Dude Man. A new record has dropped. The needle gently glides upon a single smooth track. Quote, I belong and I have something to offer the body, unquote. This is the love of God in Christ. Folks, isn't that beautiful? I read Average Dude's comment to you, Average Dude Man, and it really struck me. And I called it poetry because it was. This man's obviously a writer, and yet he's in the habit of deleting his comments because he just doesn't feel. It's not that he's uncertain about his thoughts, but those ghosts in his head, the being abused, sounds like verbally abused in the past. Ghosts in his head, blaring old warped records titled Pretentious, Know-It-All, Worthless. Sung by Dear Old Mum and a chorus of others. And then he heard me call his words poetry. It just came out of me naturally after reading those words, and it brings him to tears. And this, a new record has dropped. This is the body of Christ. This is what we do for each other. A new record has dropped. The needle gently glides upon a single smooth track. Quote, I belong and I have something to offer the body, unquote. Yes, you do, Average Dude Man. And you're the gift that keeps giving. Thank you. Greg commented again, because my daily coffee and Zender time happens early in the morning, I miss a lot of the comments given. Great idea reading them to us. Thank you. It is an honor to be amongst this group of golden ticket bearing savior of all his creation believers. Amen. And many of you said that too. You love hearing these comments. You love hearing what your other believers, what your fellow believers have to say. Wild Boar said this. How about instead of repenting of thousands of sins, words, thoughts, and deeds, we rather admit that we are, quote, sold under sin, unrighteous and ignorant, locked in stubbornness, shut up under sin and death. And of course, he quotes scripture because that's what we in the body of Christ do. Romans 7:14, Romans 3:9 through 20, Romans 11:32, and Galatians 3:21. And that only Christ crucified and risen can abolish sin and death and bring justification and immortality. That would be changing one's mind. Going from self-righteous idolatry to the truth. There's some repentance I can buy into. Changing one's mind from self-righteous idolatry to the truth. Beautiful wild boar. Thank you for that. Brink Books says this. Our friend Johnny Green keeps inspiring you, which makes me happy. Well, you know, I like to make you happy, and you folks make me happy. Eugene Kemper said, another day in this current wicked eon. But I responded to him, that's okay. It's another day closer to the snatching away. I haven't seen his reply. I see he replied to that. Love this. Thanks. Well, I'm trying to get the right perspective there. Believe me, I feel the another day. Another day. I feel it. I understand where you're coming from. Matthew Michelson. Listen to this great testimony here. Matthew Michelson says, I remember when I was with the Pentecostals, always thinking that knowing God's presence and being in relationship with Him was something that I had to work on. Throw my hands up at church and be really emotional. Be sincere at receiving Christ into my heart and be sincerely committed to Him. Model after all the commandments that Christ gave to His disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, etc. I always thought that the reason I didn't feel close to God was because I fell short on these things. But part of me deep inside was saying, wouldn't it be great if we could just be free and just be ourselves? It wasn't until 2014 when I was completely burned that God showed me Martin's channel and other believers' channels about the truth, that tiny voice that spoke to Matthew even in the midst of all this religious activity, that tiny voice wanted to hear that God and Christ have always been there with arms open wide and no strings attached. Praise God and Christ, and thank you all for being my family in faith. Wow, so beautiful. Matthew Michelson, thank you for that. So many great comments. I'm really into this. I could keep reading, but it would be an hour show. This show might go long. We'll see, but I want to. Now we're going to go back to show 1513, and I want to pick up where I left off. Thank you to everyone who comments. And folks, if you like Greg, if you watch the video early in the day, you don't get back to it, it really is worth it to go back to it, because I comment a lot of times on the comments. It's really nice to go back and see what your fellow believers are saying. Tony says on show 1513, which again was titled, This Old Testament Prophet Guy Mocks Our Happiness in Christ. Tony says, well, very interesting. Current world events in the last few videos about Mr. Green triggered a synapse that led me to Paul's discussion of the full armor of God in Ephesians 6. Other people have mentioned this. Listen to this. I've been studying and meditating on that for almost a week now. What truth and what a comfort. I hope you will do a video or two on this, and I'm going to do it next week because it's related to this Johnny Green. See, Johnny Green keeps inspiring me. The armor of God is for attacks on the truth. That's what the armor of God is for. Going to get into that. I'm going to do at least one show on it. I will look forward to it. I know we've been in the wicked eon for thousands of years, but I feel almost overwhelmed in the last few months, and I hear this from all of you, myself too. I felt almost overwhelmed in the last few, almost. I like that word almost there, Tony. The reason you're not totally overwhelmed is because of the body of Christ. I felt overwhelmed, almost overwhelmed the last few months with a spiritual warfare going on around us, and now I think I know what Paul is referring to as the wicked day. Yes. We are to stand in the wicked day. Armor of God, Ephesians 6. Going to get to it next week along with those wonderful other topics I mentioned to you. But tomorrow the idea, of course, is to finish Johnny Green's audio. There's still some stuff coming up that is going to edify you. Well, reverse edification. First you're going to be appalled, and then I will explain it and you will see where it fits and you will be edified ultimately. That's the goal. Always, always to build up, never to break down. I am no longer seeing evil or misguided men, but the world mites and forces of wickedness in the celestials that are behind them. That's one of the purposes of Paul in Ephesians 6 to tell us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers of darkness. World mites among the celestials. They have just hijacked human beings, and they're using them to try to discourage us. That's why we need the armor of God. Got to put on those sandals of the evangel of peace, or I may go nuts. We're all with you, Tony. Peace to you and to those listening in. God bless you, brother. Truth Seekers said, we tried to fight it and failed. So yes, we are in need of a savior. So simple, so to the point. Truth Seekers, his comments are really never more than one line, but they say a mouthful. We tried to fight it and failed. It's like, I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I forget who sings that song, but right, he's not talking about the law of Moses, but it can certainly be applied to that. We tried to fight it and failed. So yes, we're in need of a savior. Thank God for Christ saving us. Love it. Love it. Constantinotoni says this. How someone can read such nonsense, speaking of Johnny Green, into what Paul is saying is beyond me. That's what he sees in himself. Armchair psychologist here, he's on to something. That's what he sees in himself, and thus that's what he reads into Scripture. Yes, he sees in himself maybe I'm just going along with this. I think he's on to something here. Constantinotoni, I think he's saying that. Sorry if I pronounced this wrong. It's got quite a lot of consonants and vowels and odd combinations. A lot of people just don't trust grace, and they think that they would go wild. They would just lose it if they truly were to understand grace, and they're afraid of it, and so they project that on others. They not only read it into Scripture, as Tony says here, but they also project it upon us. Good insight there. Breath of fresh air, Martin. Thank you. That was Freedom Bible Studies. John Irish says this. Let's face an important fact. All what Jesus did on the cross, as taught to Paul and to us through his epistles, is pretty difficult stuff to comprehend. Yes, I will give you that. As Peter was humble enough to admit. Remember that verse? Peter said, there are some things, Paul says, that are difficult to apprehend. And people twist it. The unlearned people twist what Paul says. I'm afraid that's what's happening with my friend Johnny Green. As Peter was humble enough to admit, but even for people who are attracted to it, have an antenna for it, it takes a fair amount of intelligence and work. It does. John goes on, it's painfully obvious that there are many teachers of Paul who want to hang with the big dogs, but who sadly lack the antenna and intelligence and definitely haven't put in the time. Can't argue with that. But good or bad, we live in a world where anyone can go on social media or in a building and teach whatever and however they want to teach. And that is epidemic today. Everybody can grab a microphone, go in a car, and just start teaching. Like I've said earlier in this little series here, that you have to be careful when you're teaching. It's a difficult task. The truth is simple. I mean, I agree with John that Paul is a very intellectual man. Paul, don't get Paul wrong. He is a super intellect. And yet he's presenting, I think, in a complicated way, because God wants us to work. He's presenting in a complicated way some very simple scriptural truths. I've always felt that my gift was to make the complicated simple. And I think Paul was such an intellect that many of us, I included, have to strain to keep up with this man. We do. But the work is worth it. Paul said to Timothy, become an unashamed worker, rightly dividing, or as Concordance says, correctly cutting the word of truth. So it's a work. It is work. We are so blessed to be gifted with some of the truly gifted teachers like Martin and A. E. Nock. Well, thank you for that, John. I appreciate the compliment. It is work. It is sweaty work, and yet there's no greater job in the world than bringing this truth to you. Neil Christian says, great message, Martin. If grace and justification are gifts of God bestowed freely to us by a loving God, then how can they be truly considered free if the recipient, us, are required to do stuff to keep them free? See, there you go being logical again, all you members of the body of Christ. Johnny Green's doctrine is contrary to Paul's. It's a form of slavery, placing an inwards focus on failure and not externally on Christ's successes. I love that. That's what Johnny Green is doing, placing an inward focus on failure and keeping track of your failure, trying to inspire yourself to not fail, and not externally on Christ's successes. Christ never fails. It's a sausage factory of repentance and forgiveness, which appeals to self. We know our God created the heavens and earth and is actually in love with his creation. He delights in it. His love surpasses this world. It reaches beyond into the everlasting. He even gave his son to show how much he loves us. For me, it's a revelation to know of God's love, bit by bit, not all at once. It's not easy to understand a supernatural love, but his love towards us is so immense. I think if Johnny Green were to get a tiny glimpse of God's love, he would understand what we are on about here. You know, I never thought of that, because I guess I didn't want to think of it. How much of God's love does Johnny Green grasp? You would think he would grasp a lot of it, since he does believe in the salvation of all. It's almost like he gives more love to the world than he does to us, right? So our concept of God's love can't stop with realizing he's the savior of all humanity. It's somehow easier to think that and to have this abstract love. But then when you get down to the rubber on the road and you're with other people, then that love is sometimes easily flees. We get upset, we get angry and bitter and things like that. And these are things that little by little we see going away, and we pray more and more that God would take these things from us. Amen. Thank you for that, Neil. Joyce says, thank you again for the truth. No repentance for things already forgiven. Yes, Joyce, not only already forgiven, but justified. So justification is so crazy that even your failures are looked at as right because your failures produced something that you couldn't have gotten any other way besides then with the failure. So even your mistakes are justified. So it's not that God's looking at certain sins you did and forgiving them. Like Johnny said, look the other way. Johnny doesn't even see how Christ can look the other way unless we repent, 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 repent. But it's that God looks right at us and says, you're just. Love you, Martin. Joyce, I love you too. Thank you for that. Three hearts at the end. I give four to you. Four hearts to you. I will see your three hearts. I will raise you one heart. Let's see. Your move. Your move, Joyce. This is our friend Samuel Chetty. He says this, Prophet Green sounds like Eeyore.
Yes, he does kind of sound like Eeyore. Here we go again. Martin Zender's teaching you that you can live your life any way you want to.
He does sound like Eeyore. Eeyore's not quite as menacing, though. Eeyore is more just resigned. If I could do Eeyore with a Johnny Green menace, it would be,
Winnie the Pooh, you better get your ass over here because the rabbit is bothering us. And that kid in the big rubber boots, sometimes I could just...
Okay, that's enough of that. Samuel goes on, this situation is very reminiscent of what happened with Dan Sheridan about 10 years ago. The root issue, I believe, is confidence in flesh. Somebody else says this at the end here, the last comment I'm going to read, is somebody else sees this. Yes, that is the root issue, confidence in flesh. And this is something that only God can dismantle. When Sheridan started teaching, Dan Sheridan used to be a fellow worker of mine, believed completely in the sovereignty of God until the day he didn't, until the day he started to believe God didn't control anything, became an open theist where the future is unknown and even God has to wait to see what's going to happen right along with his creatures. Don't get me started. But you already did get me started there, Samuel. That's okay. When Sheridan started teaching a similar compromise of Paul's evangel, yes, Dan also did that, I was worried by it because my confidence in flesh was not demolished yet. See, so I think what Samuel is saying here is his confidence in his flesh was not demolished yet, so he didn't trust, maybe Samuel didn't trust his ability to stand fast with the winds of wrong teaching. And so it really bothered him. Isn't that, that's kind of an irony, isn't it? That it's the confidence in flesh that could cause you to slip. When you have no confidence in flesh, it holds you fast. Very interesting. My confidence in flesh was not demolished yet. Now it is, and teaching like greens doesn't bother me at all. I wish I could say the same thing. Thank you, Samuel. It bothers me every day, but, you know, look at the fruit that has come from it. Donald Handy says, this fellow puts me in mind of the depression, guilt, and unworthiness I used to feel after listening to Billy Graham. Oh, yeah. A prime example of the true evangel being for all but only on all who, by the grace of God, believe it. Great comment, Donald. Thank you for that. The flip side of life says, Martin, how can God hate sin when God created it and uses it for the purpose of contrast and using evil to bring all good? See, this is a theological question. This isn't a comment. If I start answering this theologically, you know I can hardly resist. You know I'm trying to rein myself in here. But it's a good question. How can God hate sin? God hates sin relatively, just like he hated Esau. I love Jacob. Jacob, I love Esau. I hate Romans chapter 9. It's relative, not absolute. Absolutely, he loves Esau. Just in relation to Jacob, he wasn't too crazy about Esau in the relative as he's looking at them and their behavior on the stage of life. So ultimately, sin is purpose. I won't go so far as to say God loves sin. I'm not going to say that. Scripture doesn't say that. He purposes it to do what it does. He doesn't love it. Don't anybody quote me as saying Martin thinks God loves sin. No, but he purposed it. It's not an accident. It's supposed to be here, and it is, as the flip side of life says, a contrast that God is using to bring everyone to eventual good. Truth seekers love this. Listen to this. This is the one-line guy. If I had a drink for every time he said repentance, I would get alcohol poisoning. Oh, truth seekers, you're killing me. You're killing me there. If I had a drink for every time Johnny Green said repentance, I'm with you there. I would get alcohol poisoning. Yeah, I know. No, the pirate, Mark Haukes. If people don't magnify the grace of God, they'll end up flagellating themselves or others. Yeah. If people don't get the grace of God and they want to flagellate themselves, okay. I don't recommend it, but have at it. You know, close your door and do what you have to do. But to flagellate others like Johnny is doing? The Catholics have the confessional. Protestants and evangelicals have their invisible form of the confessional. This is a great insight here. Invisible form of the confessional. Altar calls, popularized by Charles Finney. 12-step recovery programs, accountability partners, and a raft of other Catholic light nonsense. I choose justification and freedom in Christ. What a punchline. Love it. First reference, of course, we're talking about the body of Christ here. Romans 5:1 and Galatians 5:1. J.K. Bell says this, oh, Johnny boy. It's even better than a golden ticket. That's small potatoes compared to the grace of Christ. I love that the golden ticket came up again. Now we have a commenter named Stan Fisher who is not on the same page as the rest of us. I'm tempted not to read this, but let's read it. Everybody has to repent of sins. Obedience daily. Obedience daily. Okay. No question about it. John the Baptist said, repent of sins. Well, yeah. And Moses said, bring your sacrifice to the altar. And Peter said at Pentecost, repent and be baptized. Because we all have sinned, and daily we have choices to obey or sin. Here we go. Okay, I can't get into this. Repent to Jesus, not a priest. How many people do you know who go to strip clubs, drink, and say they are saved, or shack up? Shack up? Oh, are people shacking up out there? Like men and women sleeping with each other and drinking? Oh, my goodness. Strip clubs. I've looked and looked and looked in the scripture. I can't see anything that God hates about strip clubs. He doesn't never says anything that he hates strip clubs. He hates religiosity. He hates self-righteousness. He hates people who stir up dissension among brothers. He hates haughty eyes. In fact, he hates the kind of religious pride that you're showing, Stan. That's what he hates. He doesn't hate strip clubs. Why would he hate strip clubs? He created the female body. Don't get me in it. Nobody wants to hear, depart from me, I don't know you. Well, be careful you don't hear it, my friend, because you're pushing for obedience daily. It's as if you, along with Johnny Green, don't understand that Jesus Christ actually came and did something about sin. You certainly don't consider yourself as justified. Have you ever read Romans, my friend? I ask you that. David was a man after God's own heart because he repented quickly and came around and wanted to do the right thing. That's integrity. No, not true. David was a man after God's own heart because he was a man after God's own heart. Thank you for the comment, though. I'm going to leave it up here. It helps us to see where we've been. Stan, I hope you keep watching the show. I'm not making fun of you here. I'm just really taking you to task. Like, drink? God hates drink? Jesus drank. How many people do you know go to strip clubs? Drink. And say they're saved or shack up. Drink? Jesus drank wine. You do understand that. Unless you're a Baptist and you think he drank Welch's grape juice. Okay, I was poking a little fun at you there. I hope you treat me with grace. I don't see why you would, because I don't see anything about grace in your text. So you're probably going to condemn me to the lake of fire like Johnny Green does. Okay, I got a couple more to read here. And you're going to be glad I took the time. Truth Seekers is at it again. The one-line bandit here. That's weird. Didn't Christ say he would never leave us or forsake us? So why would God leave us or forsake us? Absolute brilliance. This is based on Johnny Green's statement that God forsook them. Speaking of those poor people, Romans chapter 1, pre-Calvary. Truth Seekers is at it again. Christ took care of our sin on the cross, so what are you repenting of? We are at peace with God. Salvation is of Christ. We cannot save ourselves. Right to the point. Brilliant again. Mike Morales says this. Thank you, brother, for this! Exclamation point. I'm going to read it this way. Thank you, brother, for this. You're welcome. I will never watch any of Johnny's videos. Good. Seems like Johnny is turning into the guy from The Shining. Here's Johnny. Yeah, kind of like. I wonder how Eeyore would say that. Here's Johnny. Probably something like that. Robert Lakey, nothing wrong with repentance. It's just not necessary to be justified. Right on. Except, yeah, I say, what did I say yesterday? Did anybody write that down? We don't need to repent from of our sins. We need to repent of religion. That's it. Thank you, Robert. Jan Miller has written a poem. When I read this, this blew my mind. I think I'm gonna need some music for this. can we get some music going for this? No, that's not right. That's not right. It's just too rock and rolly. I'm thinking maybe something more mellow, maybe like some piano. Okay, yeah, that'll work. This is called Crucified. I didn't know what to do. I don't like the color on the thing here. Can we do some kind of sepia? Nice. Perfect. All right. Now we're ready for Jan Miller. She wrote this in the comments. This should be in a book, like Leaves of Grass or something. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say when I saw his flogged and naked body on display. Why was he there? It didn't look fair. What was he doing up there? Did anyone care? I saw the dried blood pools as they cracked across his face, and I knew his pain dark storm clouds could not erase. As I stood beneath that pole, the whole story began to unfold. He entered into death to bring life to all. Yes, he heeded God's call. The old corrupt he crucified for me made me just a new humanity. He had enough blood because God had sent him to drain the cause of sin's great reign. He had enough strength because God had sent him to rip the death hold from our mortal frame. Every self-centered, self-righteous, religious flesh stripped away. Every hurt, every corrupt thought, every shaming thing stripped away. He shattered every stronghold till it's all crucified. His suffering can no longer be denied. The old corrupt he crucified. The excruciating pain, this made everything plain. This is what he did for me. It's a finished work. I need not complicate. Every day I look up and think about the man left there to suffocate. I remember, crucified.
Wow. Jan Miller, thank you. That is also a work of art. Thank you for sharing that with us. Whew. How do we go on after that? Let's try. Ryan Bagwell says, Christ died for the sins of the world, but will punish you in hell eternity for... But will punish you in hell for eternity for sins? Interesting. Sounds like he died in vain. I love you because you're sarcastic. Like me. Very nice. Truth seekers, again, it doesn't say abandon, but turn them over to vile desires. It's temporary, not forever. See, he's still focused on that abandon thing. Johnny Green says, God abandoned them. Sound like permanent. No, just abandon them. It didn't even say he abandoned them. Right, right. He turned them over. Turned them over. Check Kana says, what kind of sin does he think us believers commit or want to commit? Of course, we're already forgiven. Actually, we're justified. But I really don't have a desire to do wicked things. Right. Maybe he's projecting his own sin on us. Yes, definitely. Thank you for that insight. I'm going to end with this. This is an amazing comment, and it's from Sandy Miller. This is a great quote to end on. I've resisted commenting so far to all of these JG video teachings, primarily due to the fact that my rant would likely go on and on. Huh. I'm right there with you, sister. And y'all, especially Martin, would likely be yawning by the time I quit, but I'll be brief. Let it suffice to say these videos have, for me, been like a crash course, akin to reading Cliff Notes the night before a big exam. After 60-plus years in mainstream Christianity, God only opened my eyes since early January, and ever since, I've been cleaning out the trash with the steadfast hand of God's Spirit leading me forward, and it has been rigorously difficult at times. Johnny Green's video references by Martin have been like a lighted magnifying mirror used in surgery, focusing in on major hotspots of disease and decay. No matter what is being taught, it continually comes back around, without fail, in my humble opinion, to self-righteousness. Personal works and self-righteousness are like the big, heavy bookends on this shelf. Every book that is doctrinal issue that falls in between is held securely in place by the need to satisfy the insatiable appetite of self-righteousness and pride. And across the bottom of the shelf is the inscription, Free Will of Man. Wow, you are nailing it here, Sandy. That is the bottom line. Somebody else mentioned that. The bottom line is self-righteousness. It's pride. And underneath it, at the foundation, is the free will of man. You have got it. There are untold numbers of examples racing around in my mind, but I'll spare y'all. I'm thankful for the light of the gospel of truth being shown on Johnny Green's error-filled teachings. Exposure, rebuke, and entreat. Paul knew what he was talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the effectiveness of exposure, rebuke, and entreat. Exposure first, rebuke, exposing the doctrine, rebuking the teacher, bringing the false teaching, and then entreating the right thing on the heels, on the example, on the negative example of the error. And I'm especially thankful for Martin being willing to roll up his sleeves and wade into the mire. Rightly dividing the word of truth for all of us. Thank you, Sandy. You're going to bring tears to my eyes if you're not careful here. I'm so thankful for God's grace towards even me. Hugs and prayers always. Y'all keep on keeping on. It can't be long now. Amen to our sister, Sandy Miller. And that's a great place to end on there for now. I'll be back tomorrow. But amen, sister. We're going to keep keeping on. And it can't be long now.